Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And it's a Tuesday. It's September 17th, 2019. Hope your day's going well. And thanks for tuning in to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. A lot to talk about. And we'll be joined by a dear friend of mine, an amazing sister in the Lord and witness. You know her well from her great work at EWTN, Women of Grace, radio, TV, books, and beyond, retreats. My friend Jeanette Williams. She's joining me to talk about some amazing growth of Women of Grace. Now, it's been extremely popular around the country and in various parts of the world. Now, it's even moving into Ukraine. So I wanted to bring Jeanette on to talk about this because I think we forget sometimes because we may take, and I know oftentimes I have because I'm just so used to, you know, putting on EWTN on Sirius 130 and listening to the programs and just having it there, right, in addition to coming on the air with you every day. But it's really important to remember that when Mother Angelica always said, and as Father Mitch still says, to keep us between your gas and electric bills, the impact that we're having. Many of you write us your individual beautiful testimonies about how EWTN has helped recatechize you, brought you back to the faith. I mean, thousands and thousands of testimonies you've shared with us over the years. And that's extremely powerful. But I think we forget that if that's happening to you in, say, Indiana or Michigan or Ohio or Florida or wherever, it's also happening because of the fact that we're on satellite, we're on the internet, and we're on all over the world TV-wise, that so many people around the world are being impacted. So when you're supporting EWTN and your local affiliates, you are doing what you're called to do as a Catholic, called to evangelize. We're all called to evangelize by virtue of our baptism. And when you can get a program like Women of Grace into countries all over the world, that's huge. Huge, huge. So we'll talk about that, and I'll just get Jeanette's take on a lot of things that's going on in the culture. And I think she'll have a lot to say about a new report that's out regarding women and how they've been treated. It's a very telling report, and it harkens back to Pope Paul VI and Humana Vitae. And it speaks volumes about how women have been objectified and mistreated. And it also speaks volumes to the fact that we need to be accurate about accusations. What's happening right now with the New York Times and Justice Brett Kavanaugh is a shame. It's a sham. It's fake news. Now the New York Times is apologizing and rolling it back, saying, oh, gee, oops, never mind, because the alleged victim doesn't remember anything, wasn't even interviewed, and doesn't want to talk. She doesn't remember anything. So there's not a story, at least not yet. Now, I'm not saying that there could be something, but you don't go with a story with a huge paper like the New York Times, even though their readership is way down because of the various sensationalism and all the other problems that they've had. But you don't issue a story like that and then come back and say, oops, sorry, unless you're trying to affect something or someone. The problem is when you sit there and falsely accuse people of all kinds of accusations, the problem of which you're accusing them gets minimized. And people who are really being victimized in that situation are not going to come forward. And so if you really want to do justice when it comes to women and sexual assault, which is still a huge problem, and this is a study that I'm going to talk about with Jeanette, then you need facts and you need truth, right? You have to have people willing, and as hard as it is, to come forward. New York Times should be ashamed of themselves, but they don't care because they're about agenda. That's all it is. And I'm telling you right now, with my background in news, the way stories are positioned on the weekends, Friday and Saturday, not big news days. Sundays, huge news days, both in the morning because of the national news shows, and Sunday night. Because people in the news business know that people watch the Sunday night news. Sunday morning talk shows are also very popular. Even local news, Sunday nights is a big night, especially during the sweeps months, because people want to know what's going on before they go to bed, before they go to work the next day. And so you have a big story in the morning in the national news. It's going to take on a life of its own and have legs and run all over the place. And then a day later, New York Times says, oh, never mind. Their own Emily Lortilla version of never mind. I talked about this at length in my first hour in my 2 cent segment, and I pulled up the Society of Professional Journalists Code of Ethics. They violate everything in there practically every single day. Archbishop Chaput tells us if we don't know how the media work, they're going to work on us. The Catholic Church has amazing writings and teachings on using media wisely, including the news media, and how we need accurate information on various issues in order to be active in the public square. That's not what's happening with the secular media. It hasn't been happening in a long time, but it's over the top, very bad. That's why you need, getting back to my original point, EWTN and our solid news sources, such as EWTN News Nightly, Catholic News Agency, Church Pop, and of course, our programs every day here at Catholic Radio. All right. I got my Italian up this morning after seeing the New York Times saying, oh, gee, we forgot. She doesn't even remember anything. Now the reporters who wrote the story say they're blaming their editors, that the editors removed it. Not buying it. All right. Very important to understand how the media operate. And this story on this sex experience study, we're also going to have it in our news headlines for today. Very, very sad about the way women are treated and the way women are objectified. Sexual assault is a big problem. Nobody is minimizing that. But you do this very, very big problem and big issue a disservice when you throw out all kinds of false accusations against everybody and their brother, no pun intended. So we need to keep that in mind, and we'll talk about that, plus the impact that Women of Grace is having around the world, not just around the country. It is about 7 minutes past the hour on a Tuesday. Let's check the news and see what's happening in and around the world. Well, the Arizona Supreme Court ruling in favor of a business that refused to make wedding invitations for same-sex couples. Beginning in 2016, the company Brush and Nymph filed a claim with the Maricopa Municipal Court saying their artistic and religious freedom was being infringed upon by a Phoenix anti-discrimination law. That ordinance is to businesses selling things or services to the general public, but the Supreme Court agreed that the company's religious freedom was being violated and agreed with them in terms of their refusal to make wedding invitations. Cardinal George Pell Tuesday submitting an application for leave to appeal his conviction to the Australian High Court following the August 21st decision by the Court of Appeals in Victoria to uphold his conviction for sexual abuse. The leave to appeal was filed in Melbourne by Pell's legal team today, one day before the deadline of 28 days from the date of the appeals court decision. Sources close to the Cardinal telling the Catholic news agency last month that Pell would be exercising his final appeal and that while the majority of special leave to appeal cases were not granted by the High Court, his case would likely be accepted given the controversy triggered by the split decision of the appeal court judgment. In a letter to Planned Parenthood's board of directors, Dr. Leanna Wen, the former president and CEO, accusing the organization of holding her health insurance and severance pay as ransom until she agrees to sign a confidentiality agreement, the ousted president's tenure at Planned Parenthood lasting less than a year. And there's another shakeup of the Women's March board, three of the founding members stepping down from their positions yesterday. The Women's March also appointing nearly 20 new board members. Among them is Zara Ballou. Ballou is a lawyer who serves as executive director of the San Francisco Bay Area Office of the Council of American Islamic Relations. She's known as a longtime critic of Israel. She said multiple times that Israel commits war crimes and terrorism, saying it's an apartheid, racist state. Today is the second day of the UAW's strike nationwide against General Motors. Contract talks resuming today after the two sides did not come to an agreement on Monday, and the Center for Automotive Research's Christian Jacek says it doesn't appear GM is all that worried about the work stoppage lasting that long.
GM has their suppliers all working this week, building the inventory, so they're not like, you know, batting down the hatches, we're in for a long haul. I think a lot of folks are right now fairly encouraged that they're back at the table.
The most recent strike back in 2007, lasting only 2 days, roughly 50,000 workers across the country off the job after the current contract expired on Saturday. Phil Hewlett explains the next round of trade talks with China set to begin this week.
The U.S. Trade Representative's Office says the deputy-level discussions will take place starting Thursday in Washington, D.C., The meetings will set the stage for high-level talks involving Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and China's vice premier in early October. The ongoing trade war between the world's two largest economies has disrupted markets and threatened global growth for more than a year.
President Trump weighing in on the New York Times controversy, calling for the resignation of New York Times reporters who published a recent story, as we mentioned earlier, about Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. The newspaper doing a major correction, issuing an apology on a story that detailed a new sexual misconduct allegation against Kavanaugh, noting that friends of the woman allegedly involved in the incident say she didn't remember it. At a rally in New Mexico last night, the president said the Times is dead and cannot recover under its current management. He called the story a smear similar to the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election. The president, meanwhile, also in New Mexico last night, warning supporters that Democrats are threatening their Second Amendment rights.
Left-wing Democrats want to confiscate your guns and eliminate your God-given right to self-defense.
At a rally in New Mexico, the president saying that as a leader of the nation, he will never allow Democrats to take away people's right to bear arms. He is accusing the left of using threats, bullying, and intimidation to get their way. U.S. intelligence agencies believe the attack on a Saudi oil refinery was launched from Iran. Reporter Peter Alexander has more.
And while Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen have claimed responsibility, the Saudis insist initial investigations have indicated the weapons used in the attack were Iranian, not launched from Yemen.
Sources familiar with the case say there is compelling evidence showing the attack originated inside Iran's borders and was not just carried out by Iranian proxies. That could increase, experts say, tensions between the U.S. and Iran, a congressional source saying the attack this weekend was very sophisticated and that leaders will not dispute the evidence. Two South Florida residents claiming a popular heartburn medicine gave them cancer. Reporter Stephanie Gosk says the FDA is issuing an alert now about Zantac.
That Zantac and its generic versions contain low levels of a probable human carcinogen called NDMA.
Rabbi Joseph Galamidi and Nancy Lopez recently suing the lawmakers, or the makers, excuse me, of Zantac over concern about NDMA. Lopez says she was diagnosed with breast cancer 7 years ago despite no family history. She believes it was because she started taking Zantac when she was just a teen. She says a lawsuit is not about money, but about awareness and saving lives. And Mark Mayfield tells us that Hartsfield-Jackson Atlanta International Airport is again named the busiest passenger airport in the entire world.
The Airports Council International released its World Traffic Report yesterday, which shows more than 107 million passengers flew through the Georgia airport last year, a 3.3% increase in passenger traffic. Hartsfield-Jackson has now been the world's busiest airport for 21 straight years. However, Chicago's O'Hare International Airport was number one for flight counts, with nearly 904,000 takeoffs and landings in 2018.
And the Detroit Youth Choir performing this evening in the finals of the hit show America's Got Talent. Brandy Pruitt is a parent to one of the members and says they had to work very quickly to come up with tonight's performance after advancing last week.
We celebrated, we talked, and we encouraged the kids and praised them. But it was now let's put our heads together and get a plan.
And the group is up against 10 other acts, so it's a big deal, and we're praying for those kids. They're amazing. Our phone number is 877-573-7825. Looking forward to chatting with my dear sister, amazing evangelist, Jeanette Williams. She's coming up next. And then Jen Giroux, another evangelist in her own right, talking about a professor who says pro-lifers should not be in the health industry. They're not fit to serve. I don't know who put him in charge, but we'll find out more about that. Jen Giroux has some comments. Unbelievable. Of course they don't want us in the health industry, because we're about saving lives, not the culture of death. Go figure. Again, 877-573-7825. Thanks so much for tuning in to Catholic Connection. It's a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Find us both online, AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com. Jeanette Williams up next. Plus you. Stay tuned.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomeo here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Always great to have my dear friend and sister in the Lord, an amazing speaker, a writer, evangelist, Catholic TV and radio personality. So you can hear her every day on EWTN. And of course, her ministry, Women of Grace, is exploding, and it's going all over the world, thanks be to God. The one, the only, Jeanette Bankovic Williams, 877-573-7825. Jeanette, I'm so excited for you. We have a mutual friend that works with us on our various projects. Gail Coniglio was telling me about the fact that Women of Grace is now moving into Ukraine. That is so exciting. Tell us about that. First of all, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's so good to be with you today, Teresa, and with all of your listening audience. And thank you so much for all the good work that you do for the church. And also, may I say, for a specific population in the church, all that you do for women. And we are very excited. This is really quite an amazing thing. I was contacted a couple of years ago by a woman. His name is Oksana Osadchuk, and she lives in Ukraine, and she had happened to see Women of Grace television program on EWTN. And she was excited by what she saw and excited by what she heard. So she went onto our website and began to do a little bit of research on what our mission is and on our foundational study. And in her words, she said that she just began to cry because this had been on her heart for so long. And she felt that God was asking her to help to build up an army of women. And here, when we talk about an army of women, we're talking about women who understand who they are, or women who want to help other women understand who they are in the eyes of God and the great potential that is ours by way of his gift of our feminine genius. And so she contacted us, and she began to inquire about how could we bring this to Ukraine. And the long and the short of it is that she had the entire study translated into Ukrainian, received the acclamation and the full endorsement of her bishop there, and she is off and running. And it's an incredible, incredible response that she's receiving. At last communication with her, she had over 20 facilitators just in her own diocese and in her own area. And she is going out visiting neighboring cities and neighboring towns and introducing the study to them. And we know that the history of Ukraine has been just absolutely horrific in the past several years. And she feels that this is one way in which the women can once again knit back the fiber of her country and help the people to regain a sense of balance and dignity, and by way of the feminine genius. And we couldn't be more thrilled. We're so excited for her and so excited for what the Holy Spirit is doing.
What are some of the challenges they faced in Ukraine, Jeanette, that are some of the worst in terms of for women, do you think?
Well, you know, I don't think that there's any country on the face of the earth today that is not experiencing some of the devastation that we've experienced as a result of the sexual revolution. And so I think there's always that. And anytime you're in a war-torn country, we know that women are often abused and misunderstood, and women are often at the peril, at the hands of other individuals who would seek to rob them of their dignity in oh so very many ways. And I think, you know, when we consider the fact that they've been through so much politically there, and they have, you know, endured such violence in their own land, we realize that women are the healers, you know. I mean, this is one of our gifts and heritage. This is nothing to be negated, or to try to stereotype who woman is. It comes by way of her feminine nature to want to care for others, to want to be there, both physically to help them, but also spiritually to help them. And so I think that this desire in the hearts of these women is to, you know, bring that to bear upon the issues that they face right now and the devastation that they've experienced in the recent past. And this is so harmonious with what we hope to do. And I just want to throw it out there to all of the women listeners today. You know, help us build this army. We have got to take back this culture. We are in a mess here. And we would love for you to start a Women of Grace study in your parish. I mean, when you see the response of these ladies, you know that this is something that we could not make happen. This is something that I think is in the mind and the heart of God.
And I think, too, and it's wonderful, and thanks be to God on doing this with the support and the blessing of her bishop, but imagine her going door to door in such a volatile area of the world, the strength that takes. And sometimes we get paranoid about going up and asking our deacon or our pastor about starting something in our parish.
It's true. And we cannot be intimidated nor frightened by that call. And I've witnessed this time and again here in the United States through a lot of our regional coordinators that have excellent relationships with their bishops. But these are relationships that have been built as a result of their desire to help women come into an understanding of who they truly are. Teresa, we don't have to go far to see how damaged women are from this sexual revolution, and also from the zeitgeist that attends to radical feminism in our day and time. We think we're liberated. Well, let me tell you, honeys, we're not liberated. We have set ourselves so far back, it's unbelievable.
Well, as a matter of fact, we were talking about this, you and I, during the break, and this is one of our headlines in EWTN news links today that I just recorded, and I looked up a little bit more information about this study. This is so apropos for what you were just saying and why we need this army of women and more Women of Grace programs around the country and the world. 1 in 16 women report that their first sexual experience was forced. A new study based on Centers for Disease Control and Prevention research finding that of those 3.3 million women, more than half were verbally pressured and a quarter say they were physically hurt. Among the women who said their first experience was forced, their average, and I'm cleaning up the language here because it's very graphic, their average age in this particular additional story that I found at the time of the assault was 15 years old. And listen to this, Jeanette. They also went on to report more health problems later in life, including reproductive issues. The Monday just came out yesterday in the Journal of the American Medical Association Internal Medicine. Now, if this is not Humana Vitae all over the place, I don't know what is.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. And here, we've got the proof in the pudding. A research doesn't lie. Math is our friend. It tells us the truth, you know. That's the great reality. So we can trumpet that, you know, women have been liberated. Women are now free. Women can enjoy. No, what's happened is all of this has become a backlash. And how it's backlashing is that there is an expectation, both on the part of our young men today, and older men, but also on the part of our young women, that sexual experience at young ages is a normal thing. Now, here you're talking about violent action. You're talking about rape. And there is no excuse ever, any excuse whatsoever, for a violent act like that to occur to anybody, male or female. It is egregious. It is horrible. It's an offense against God. It's an offense to the dignity of the human person. I do want to say, however, that to some extent, we have all been part of, if you will, this degradation of the human person that has come as a result of contraception and abortion.
And abortion, right.
Exactly. And if we think that that is not going to enslave women, we're crazy. And you're showing that, indeed, it has enslaved women. And she is, unfortunately, being objectified and simply used as a toy, plaything, or worse, at the hands of people who are unscrupulous. And we don't have a moral system. We've gutted that through relativism and this, you know, whole sense of I can establish my own morality, my own truth, my own right, my own wrong. We have allowed this to happen. And when I say we, it's the general we. It's us as a culture, not us as individuals.
Right.
Many have fought against this for years and continue to fight. You continue to fight against it. I continue to fight against it. But the culture itself is scathed. And it's going to take women to rebuild this. It really and truly is. So we've got to get our acts together, ladies. You know, we've just got to get our act together. We've got to do a serious examination of conscience, how have I fell victim in any way in my thinking.
Amen.
To any of this.
And more with Jeanette Williams and Women of Grace and how you can start a program in your parish or community when we come back. 877-573-7825. Jeanette Williams with me on a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. 877-573-7825. Of Grace continues to grow around the country and the world, including now in Ukraine. Talking with Jeanette Williams, 877-573-7825. And I have to say, one of the things I love about your website, in addition to all the great resource materials and spiritual materials, I love the writings of Susan Brinkman. She is top-notch.
Oh, yes.
She's great.
Yes, she
and I can't wait to see what she's going to do with this story. I know she's going to be all over it in terms of this report from the CDC. And you know, we were talking during the break. This was buried on the wires, and I was just going through the wires as I do every day to put my news together, and we had in the news links, which I record every day for the network, but it's buried, and it's not making headlines, and you think about the stories that are making headlines, falsely accusing, for example, again, Justice Kavanaugh, now the New York Times, a big faux pas, apologizing and retracting. When we see stories like this in terms of the sadness of how women are truly objectified, it's very important to raise awareness, and you're doing this very serious issue a great disservice when you're attacking someone where there's no evidence.
Well, that's exactly right. And as we were saying during the break, the important thing is for the press and the culture, all of the media outlets, women who are if you will, sold out to this whole concept of liberation through sexual activity, et cetera. It's very important for them to keep that in place, because if they begin to investigate too closely or leak the information that they know to be true or get that story out there, then they've got to examine themselves. And they're so invested in this. I mean, they've spent their life invested in this. And so to come out with research that proves that what they've been about has been, you know, a fallacy, would make their whole life's work, air quotes, and their whole perspective, their whole worldview implode. And they can't live without it, so they bury it. And you're right.
Yeah.
It's a schizophrenic country. It's a schizophrenic, you know, system of thinking. On one hand, you hold somebody up and excoriate them with no evidence. On the other hand, you have evidence that is important, but you won't let it get out there because then it falsifies what you've lived your life for.
And this is a thing. When you are in a program, why Women of Grace is so important, because you study the church teachings, you study the documents, and you and I and women who've gone through really good programs like yours, when you see stories like this, the first thing that came to mind, the first thing that hit me was Humana Vitae, because this is what, you know, Pope St. Paul VI said about women, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the encyclical up in front of me, but he said women would be the ones to suffer most because of the sexual revolution. He was very clear in terms of objectification, what contraceptives would do, what abortion would do, and how women would be disrespected. I mean, this is from the CDC. This is not a religious study. This is right out of the government, this study.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it was interesting yesterday, just personal anecdote here. I did a little shopping yesterday, something that you and I tend to do.
Known for.
And I was doing a little shopping, and I was asked if I would make a donation to the Susan B. Komen Foundation. And I said, no, I won't. And she's, you know, the woman looked at me and she was very friendly. I said, let me tell you why. I said, you know, they're trying to fight breast cancer and yet they promote the birth control pill. It's one of the main causes of breast cancer, but nobody knows that. She said, you know, she says, I know that and you know that. She says, and I figured when you said you wouldn't support her, you know, this effort, I figured that that's where you were. And I thought, well, here's a savvy lady. She knows, you know, she's done the research. How many women have any idea of the connection between breast cancer and the birth control pill?
And abortion,
and
too.
Abortion.
Yeah.
And abortion. Well, yeah. Exactly. How many? And I'm going to say very few, if any. That information is not given. You can have all of these commercials. This irritates the living daylights out of me. You can have all of these commercials on television that for allergy medicine give you all of these dire
right.
potential reactions. And here is something that we're ingesting. Women are ingesting right and left, down to the age of 12 years of age or younger even in some cases, and nobody tells them that it is a Category 1 carcinogen by the World Health Organization, as serious as asbestos poisoning and as serious as cigarette smoking. Who knows that? Nobody. But thank God we're telling everybody today. But you're
yeah.
right. All that happens, it just amazes me, Teresa, how it is that with enough time and enough church and enough research, church teaching is always proven to be true.
It's always proven to reach. And if we just have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and that's why it's so important to be, you know, really, really investing in programs like yours, Women of Grace. So if someone wants to start a Women of Grace study in their parish or, let's say, do a home study group, how do they do that, Jeanette?
Well, what they do is they simply go out to our website, womenofgrace.com. They can read about it there on the website, or they can call us. They can just pick up the phone and give us a call. We have an 800 number that's on the website. It's 800-558-5452. That's 800-558-5452. And we will be happy to walk them through it. I mean, it's time for us to be the message of Oksana also on the break there and her bravery in getting out there in Ukraine to do this. Well, here's the fact of the matter. We all have to get a little bit braver. We all have to dig a little bit deeper. We all have to stop letting fear and trepidation and the respect of others stand in our way. We've just got to get in there and do our deal. And we can, I believe, reclaim this culture in one generation, but not unless we get busy about it. The other thing, too, Teresa, I want everybody to know is we've got all kinds of new studies that are coming out this fall. And you can go out to our website, most of them online studies. You know, the Power of the Rosary is out there. All kinds of beautiful, beautiful opportunities. Queen of Millicent, we've got a great big study coming up on that that Sue Brinkman is going to be leading. So we want people to get out there and see what it is that they can do. Yes, at home, in a group. There is a dynamic in a group that I think is really important, too.
Yeah, really important. And again, when you're in Scripture, when you're studying the teachings, when you see stories, if you begin to see everything through, as Al always says, the lenses of Scripture and the teachings of the Catholic Church. And stories like this just pop out at folks like you and me because we see this. We see the church teachings and we know that they're true. I mean, again, this is the CDC talking about the way women have been mistreated. And it's all about their sexual experience when this is supposed to be so incredible to be free and to do whatever you want with whomever. Well, you know what? It doesn't work that way. God designed us for a particular relationship, and some are blessed to be in a relationship of a marriage with a man, a husband and wife coming together. Some are married to Christ. Maybe they're a consecrated virgin. Others are going into the priesthood or other areas of the religious life, but there is a place, and God has designed it. And when you go against that, it reminds me of that old commercial. You and I are old enough to remember it. You can't fool Mother Nature. Remember?
absolutely. You know, I mean, there's no question about it. And women aren't happier. They're not happier. They're more miserable than they've ever been. They're on more antidepressants.
Right.
They're on more anti-anxiety drugs. You know, they're medicating in all kinds of ways. They're not happy because they are doing exactly, precisely what you said. They're going against the way in which God's created them to be. And, of course, once again, we want to say, you know, the study that you're researching here talks about sexual experiences of these young girls being ones of violent action. That's never, never appropriate. I want to say this. We as women are not called to seduce our men. We're called to inspire them. And so we have a responsibility to present ourselves as princesses of the Most High God. And so I just want to say, don't dress in such a way
right.
that you're so provocative that you're taking a man down a primrose path, you know. And I'm not suggesting that anybody's responsible for a violent action. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I am saying we do have a responsibility to act like the daughters of God that He's
Amen.
Created us.
Principessa, that's what my husband calls me. Principessa. Daughter of the King. Thanks, Jeanette.
You have a great husband.
I do. I do, and so do you. We'll be right back.
Emmaus Health, your trusted partner in healthcare, is pleased to announce the addition of two new physicians, Dr. Jennifer Brakowski in pediatrics and Dr. Scott Wacklowick in family medicine, giving us more capacity to serve you. Also, ask about our telemedicine option for even more convenience. Call 734-930-4020. Visit our website at emmaushealth.org or come visit us at Domino's Farms, Lobby L. Faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare. Emmaus Health.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria mutual funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria mutual funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Father Dr. Jan Leeson was one of the teachers at the Renewal Ministries School of Catholic Bible Study.
It is John the Evangelist who was speaking of the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. And when these words came up of the love of God, that reminded him of the words of the Baptist. Remember that the Baptist was the teacher of John the Evangelist. He began as a disciple of John the Evangelist. So he knows the words of the Baptist all along. So he is reminded of it and inserts that. But he sort of comes back to what he was saying and wraps it up.
This is Henry Root, your host for Putting On the Mind of Christ. He serves on the Post-Biblical Commission. He traveled from his native Holland to teach at Renewal Ministries School of Catholic Bible Study. Father Jan Leeson begins a study on the Gospel of John this Sunday on our program. Listen to Putting On the Mind of Christ this Sunday afternoon at 3 on 990 WDEL, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Well, some so-called experts think that pro-lifers in the medical field, well, they shouldn't be in the medical field. They need to pack up their medical bags, their doctor bags, their nurse's bags, and walk away because they're not fit to serve. Au contraire. Oh, and by the way, I did want to mention womenofgrace.com for more information to check out Jeanette's excellent programs and all the different events going on, retreats and whatnot, and to learn more about the beautiful study moving into Ukraine. On the phone with me right now, another powerhouse in the pro-life movement in the church, Jen Giroux, writer, speaker, nurse, and pro-life activist. Jen, I don't even know where to begin with this. It's like, who do these people think they are telling us where we can work and where we can't? Good morning. Thanks for joining us. Give us some background on this, if you would.
It's really incredible. This is a female professor from California who actually it's very frightening, but she is a nursing professor, which tells you how subjective her teaching is. And she actually has an emphasis in her research on the separation of sex and pleasure from conceiving children, along with preventing pregnancies through abortion care. So she is so bold as to say that if you don't want to provide abortions, don't go into health care. I would like to counter that with, if you don't want to provide health care and you want to kill babies and people, don't go into health care. Because the reality is, this has just been a revelation of the prevalent attitude that's out there, and she was bold enough to say it. And this attitude extends far beyond the healthcare industry. You know, for years it was like, we just want to sit at the table and be reasonable and hear each other. But the reality is, that's not what they want. They want to not only get rid of you, they want to burn your house down and do what they want. I mean, this is literally the reality of what the attitude is with those that want to provide this type of, brazen attitude to think that they should rule the entire industry. So, the only thing I can say is it is something that pro-lifers and people that just believe in the overreaching rules of the Lord and that we should be living our life by need to step up and be a little bit more verbal in their professions, especially in the medical profession, because people are so fearful of losing their job and they do need their income and all that. But it is absolutely outrageous and absurd that those who are the most compassionate, that have a conscience, are going to be told to get out of the industry by those who don't. And the reality is, when we look at the, quote, healthcare providers of the abortion industry, we can talk about Dr. Gosnell, horrifyingly about Dr. Tiller, who they tried to canonize. He was every bit as bad as Gosnell. And now this new abortionist home, deceased abortionist, that they have found 2,200-plus babies, dead babies, inside his home. And you know what was hilarious? They basically reviewed when they made him retire, and so they were just shocked at his attitude, that he did not, you know, report a 10-year-old girl that had been raped by her uncle.
They're shocked.
You know, well, what, is there a conscience there? Is there any level of caring? And so, you know, this woman had the nerve to say it out loud. And that's the only good thing I can say, is it focuses the attention on the fact that those in the healthcare industry that do go by ethics and do have a conscience need to point out those who do not.
Right.
Because those people that think they can do anything they want, including assist with killing a child, you don't know what they're doing when no one's watching them. And I think it's very questionable. Anybody that can participate in helping to kill a child can falsify records, they can ignore call lights, they can change medications, they can ignore doctor's orders. I mean, nobody wants to say that out loud. It's like, oh, how could you say such things? Well, it's the reality. And they're trying to take the people with the most compassion and empathy out of the healthcare setting. And there's a word for that, and that type of setting, it's called off-switch.
Mm-hmm.
That is what happens when people are not willing to let their beliefs and their conscience and their morals participate in their profession.
Well, as you said earlier, the left claims to be all about tolerance, especially those who are supporting abortion and birth control and abortion on demand and all these things. And yet it's just the opposite of tolerance. They don't want to hear nothing from anything from anyone on this issue. And they want us to just go away and retreat into a little corner where we're intimidated and you know, backing down because we're afraid of something. And this all came about because of the University of Vermont Medical Center accused of forcing a nurse to assist with an abortion against her will. So this is one of the stories that prompted this quote-unquote professor to speak out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like that line where you have, ridiculous people in Hollywood, the libs in Hollywood, for example, Anne Hathaway, saying, well, if you don't want an abortion, don't have one. Okay, so then don't make me pay for it. Because now you have candidates running for major offices insisting not only on abortion on demand through 9 months of pregnancy, but infanticide as well, killing babies that survive a botched abortion, and they want us as in taxpayers to pay for it all.
Absolutely. And this professor that spoke this, actually, she focuses her study and her research on making sure that there are government-funded areas that women can go to pay for their abortion. And so if you really dig deep and you start researching, as I started to look into, you know, the background of this woman, it is very clear. It's not just a one-off sentence that she said. It is ingrained within her. She is on the polar opposite. I mean, just the fact that she's concentrating part of her studies on making sure that the pleasure of sex is separated from having children, that is the complete opposite of what the Catholic Church teaches.
Mm-hmm.
The complete opposite. And it basically states, you know, the obvious, taking God out of the equation in that act of sex relationship he gave us for marriage. And that is a complete off the table thing. So I think it's time for truly those of us that believe as we do to be a little more radical in speaking out and in the public, in our workplaces, because if we don't begin to counter this, they will slowly squeeze people out that have a conscience. And I think there's two things here. They have managed to successfully message across America that abortion is health care. And they have managed to successfully, for the last 30 years, cram separation of church and state, which is a judicial creation, also down the throat of everybody. And that separation of church and state is invoked to anybody that uses any type of mention of God now in job, in society, in schools. That is a tragedy, and unless more and more people band together, join Catholic organizations for nurses and doctors, get together with other Christian professionals regularly and talk about supporting each other in these type of settings and saying no. I mean, I remember when I was in my nursing job, the Catholic hospital merged with the Methodist hospital, and all of a sudden they were having us review patients that were having tubal ligations and having their tubes tied. And I went to my supervisor and said, I can't participate in this. I will not be able to do any of these patients that come in. And she was supportive and said, no problem. Just hand them off to other people. Had she not been supportive, I would have been fired probably.
Well,
right.
So in your 36 years as an RN, and you've been an RN for 36 years, how quickly do you think has it changed to the point where we're being ostracized almost every day, it seems? Is it more recent, or has it been slowly over the last 40 years, do you think?
I think it's been a slow move, but it is increasing like everything else we're seeing free falling in society. I remember the day after Terri Schiavo died, was starved to death. The day after, my department was in charge of signing consent forms for everybody coming into the hospital and same-day surgery. The day after, they started having everybody sign durable power of attorney and living will coming in as part of that paperwork. And people were signing away to starve themselves to death and not realizing it. But that happened immediately. And so I think it has been a slow, slippery slope of, you know, basically forcing the extension and the definition of nursing care. And, you know, I think there's a conflict many times in Catholic hospitals where they're teaching women going home after having a baby under the table what birth control you're using. So all these things that slowly went on, if we don't have people in the healthcare industry that will speak up and defend the truth and say, no, we can't do that, no, that's not good for the patient, no, that is not something we should ever consider, then it's going to keep getting worse. So I would say, bottom line, Teresa, is we need more professionals that have a conscience, that believe in religious liberty, and that are Catholic and Christian people flying into the industry to make sure that we counteract this slippery slope of pro-death that is so prevalent now, not just in abortion-minded, but in euthanasia. And I do home care nursing more right now, and it is amazing what liberty is given to the family and healthcare workers by hospice with medications. Who's monitoring that? So conscience is important. How you handle people when no one sees you but God is so important. And it's very scary to me seeing the statement by these people that want to push us out of the way. You know, would you want them taking care of your sister, your child, your mom when nobody's watching? I don't think so.
Well, the way the healthcare industry is stretched to the max anyway, not to mention all these other issues and these political agendas, I know that my elderly mom is having some real serious issues right now, and it has been exhausting keeping on top of it. I mean, seriously, because my husband and I have the medical and durable power of attorney, and I mean, even if we didn't, we'd be in their face because it's my mom. But it's not that they're bad people, but you have to constantly keep on top of them to make sure things are taken care of, issues are addressed. What's going on with this? It's exhausting. And then you mix in the whole culture of death with that, and it can be very, very overwhelming.
Well, and I think that it is a fair statement for people to understand. You need to be at the side of your family member in the hospital, and you need to be watching and advocating for their care,
or
it ain't going to happen, Teresa. Mm-hmm. It's not. Mm-hmm. I've experienced many times myself what you're going through with your mom, and I sometimes marvel and think how many patients that are here without an advocate are just falling through the cracks.
Right.
And it's even on the care that's ordered. Even on the doctor-ordered care, people don't follow through with it necessarily. And, you know, there's many times that you have to make the strong suggestion of where the care needs to go in order to get that order written. So it is very, very scary to me that people are now being frightened away from the optimal care that they should be given. I mean, I bet many nurses would, if someone said, will you pray with me, many nurses would be afraid to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not the way that our founding fathers intended our country to be.
Yeah.
People are afraid to express their views. And it's gone upside down. But as I always come back to you, Teresa, God can change it in an instant.
That's right.
And that is always my hope, because sometimes the most unbelievable thing will happen that no one can predict that can help turn things around a little bit. I think this professor, in some regards, is Dr. Monica Lamore. she did us a favor by focusing the light on, hey, this is not child's play anymore, guys. They're saying out loud what they believe.
Just like the governor of Virginia and his horrific comments. I think that opened a lot of people's eyes who call themselves, quote, unquote, pro-choice, but don't realize when they say that what that means, or are not aware of how expansive Roe v. Wade and Doe v. Bolton are in terms of what they gave us. Before we let you go, we have about 2 minutes left. Tell us about the new website, voiceofcatholicmoms.com.
Yes, you know, it's in its early stages, but you can see some things on there. I just, in talking to so many moms, and you were down here for the Cincinnati Catholic Women's Conference, that is 800 strong now, it's just a place for us to be able to stay connected to articles, to be informed. You know, it's a big variety of things on there. For instance, I put up that video of Bernie Sanders saying, oh, we can solve world population by exporting more abortion around the world.
Oh,
you know,
that's charming.
Moms are busy, and grandmothers are busy, and young people are busy with their toddlers. But we have to be able to stay involved on these issues, or they will continue to gain groundwork, because the people that are staying home raising their kids are not out there in the legislature. So I just decided to do this Voice of Catholic Moms website. There's a place to submit things if people want to write and inform us about what's going on in their community, and or submit articles they think that should be shared with women. But it's just important that we have a voice as Catholic moms to let them know that, you know, believing in our role as the backbone of society and being able to advocate our beliefs is important. And the first place to start doing that is to see what's going on through keeping up with what's going on in society. So
don't let these people bully you. I mean, stand up, and you'll find that they will back down if you stand up, and then they don't want to enter into a debate because they have no facts to back them up. It's all propaganda. It's all emotion. So if you calmly challenge, as Jeanette was talking about, you know, having that conversation with the woman at the counter, and she asked her to donate to Susan G. Komen, and she said no, and explain why, you can do it nicely. You don't have to be screaming and yelling. That's not what we're saying. But stand up. I mean, and use reports like the one I've been talking about this morning from the CDC, how ridiculous it is that this so-called sexual revolution has done so much for women. I mean, it's nuts. And we need to be not afraid, as John Paul II said, and put the truth out there firmly but lovingly. And I think a lot of people, a lot more people than realize, not that this is why we do it, agree with us and are looking for others to back in these efforts. Jen, always great to talk to you. Cool new website, voiceofcatholicmoms.com. We'll be right back. Let you know what's coming up on a Wednesday. Voiceofcatholicmoms.com. Be not afraid. We'll be right back. We were speaking this morning with Jeanette Williams and Jen Giroux about the beauty of church teaching and how various news stories out there, studies and whatnot, reveal the truth of that church teaching. And we'll talk more about that with the amazing Dr. Thomas Hilgers. He's a director of the Pope Paul VI Institute, and he's going to be talking about some of these stories that have been making headlines in terms of problems at fertility clinics, plus Joan Lewis live from Rome on a Wednesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Ciao, ciao. Have a blessed day.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.